Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with a quiet heart, and I pray that you're going to speak to us. Use your servant to speak to us in a clear way so that we understand what you have to say to us. And give us a new heart, a heart that we can receive your word and hide your word within our heart so that we won't sin against you. And give us a new heart, a gentle heart, a heart that we bear much fruit for you. And I pray that you fill each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit and lead us into all truth. Enable us to be a doer of your word instead of just hearer of your word. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Joyce, could you read it? Daniel chapter 12, starting verse 1.
At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times, and half a time, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken. All these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, many made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You rest, and then at the end of the days, you arise to receive your allotted inheritance."
Can anyone tell me the answer? Give me the answer. What is the reason why in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, why would God is a loving God? Why would a loving God allow a time of distress such as has never happened from the beginning of nation until then? What is the reason for a loving God allow a time of distress, the 7 years of tribulation, such as has not happened from the beginning of nation until then? Jean?
To test our faith, make sure that we stand beside him.
To test our faith? Okay. Emily?
Is it for...
You have to speak louder because we caught it.
Oh, is it to let people who haven't believed to repent?
Let people who hasn't believed repent? Wow. We know that, eh? If your name was not written in the book of the Lamb of God, if your name was not written in there, doesn't matter what kind of suffering you go through, you will not repent. But those people whose name was written in the book of life, you will repent in your suffering. Okay? So, I have never had the opportunity to go and read the book to see whether your name is there. But when you read the scripture, when you hear the message, you hear what the preacher is saying, as long as he is preaching the word of the Lord, and you do not repent, doesn't matter what kind of suffering you go through, you still do not repent, then I know for sure your name was not written in the book of Lamb. I remember 30 some odd years ago, someone come to my house and share the gospel to me at that time, and I do not believe, and they marked down a remark in the report saying that don't bother visiting John M. anymore because he has a stiff neck, hardened his heart, for sure he will go to hell. And six months later, when my brother died in a car accident, I turned around and I believe. So the Lord will soften your heart in your suffering. So I want you to write it down. Right beside there will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nation until then. The reason why the loving God allowed 7 years of tribulation so that he can rescue those people who are destined to be saved. I want you to write it down. Job chapter 36. Job chapter 36. Verse 15 and 16. But those who suffer, God deliver in their suffering. God speak to them in their affliction. He is wooing you from the jaw of distress to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. The reason why a loving God allowed such suffering to mankind so that his people, God's people, will turn around. Unfortunately, a lot of God's people have stiff neck, just like what the other guy said, John Lamb has stiff neck. You understand what I'm trying to say? They come to my house, try to save me, and yet I rebel against them, and mock at them, and laugh at them, until my brother died. And then I'm willing to listen. So that's the reason why God allowed 7 years of tribulation. It's a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nation until then. So other than these Bible verses, I also want you to write it down. Psalm Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord. the man you teach from your law. 94:13, you grant him relief from days of trouble. Still a pit is dug for the wicked. If you are destined to have eternal life, through suffering, you will turn around. If you are destined to go to hell, through suffering, and you will not repent. So I read that to you again. Psalm 94:12-13. Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord. The man you teach from your law. From God's word, I know that. What do I know? Job 36:15-16. But those who suffer, God deliver in their suffering. God speak to them in their affliction. What does it mean by God speak to them in their affliction? As a matter of fact, God speak to them all the time, yet they don't listen in their comfort zone. But when they are suffering, they open their ear. They're willing to listen. Okay? So, that means blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law. From God's word, from his law, from the gospel, I understand that suffering is for my own good. So I want you to write it down right beside Daniel 12:1. You write down Job 36:15-16, Psalm 94:12-13. Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law. You grant him relief from days of trouble. During the 7 year of tribulation, they suffer so much, God will grant them relief, rescue them when they turn around. Still a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance, his people. Okay? So you write down the reason why the loving God allow a time of distress such as this, such as has never happened from the beginning of nation until then. You write down Psalm 94:12-14. Okay. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nation until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. How can they be delivered in their suffering? Okay? Everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Right beside in the book, I want you to write it down. Psalm 87:6. The Lord will write in the register of the people. This one was born in Zion. My daughter, the younger daughter, was born in New York at Knight Hospital. So it's funny, you know, the Knight Hospital did not give my daughter the birth certificate. Is the time of the night give this birth certificate, saying that this lady, this baby was born in that time. So I read that Psalm 87 to you. He has set his foundation on the holy mountain. The Lord loves the gate of Zion more than all the dwelling of Jacob. Right beside the gate, you write down Revelation 21. I think 21:21. Like just hold 1 second, okay? Revelation 21:21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate made of a single pearl. Okay? You write that down. Right beside the gate, the Lord loved the gate of Zion. There are 12 gates in the city of Zion. That's the holy city. The Lord loved the gate of Zion more than all the dwelling of Jacob. What is that gate? That gate, according to John in Revelation chapter 21, that's the entrance to the holy city. At the same time, according to John's teaching in Gospel of John chapter 10, he recorded Jesus saying, the gate that symbolized Jesus Christ, because he died on the cross. John chapter 10 verse 7. Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. That is the gate. Verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. You write down 10, 7, and 9. Right beside the gate of Zion. The Lord loved the gates of Zion. That means the Lord loved our Lord Jesus Christ, because when he died on the cross, he opened up a gate for his sheep to enter through it. Who can enter through it? If your name was registered in the book of the Lamb, you can enter through it. And how do I know whether your name was written in the book of the register? When you hear the gospel, when you hear the preacher preaching the word of God, you say, yes, I want to believe in Jesus. Then I know your name was written in the book of the registry. Do I make myself clear? Okay. You can harden your heart and resist it, and you cannot enter into it. Too bad, you know? You know what I mean? Right? Keep going. Psalm 87, verse 1. He has set his foundation on the holy mountain. The Lord loved the gate of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Why the Lord loved the gate more than all the dwelling? You dwell in Jacob, not every descendant of Jacob can go to heaven. But anyone who enters through the gate, for sure, have eternal life. Does it make sense? That's why the Lord loves the gate. Right beside the gate, you write down Revelation 21:21. You write down Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 7 and 9. The Lord loved the gate of Zion more than all the dwelling of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. The Zion is the city of God. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. Verse 4. I will record Rahab. Rahab means Egypt. Egyptian. I will record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me. The reason why Egyptians come to know the Lord, because Israelites stayed in that place for 430 years. And the Israelites are the witness of the Lord. And when they witness for Christ, they come to know the Lord. The Gentiles come to know the Lord. Like, if I keep on staying in Hong Kong without coming to Canada, I won't be a Christian. He moved me all the way from Hong Kong to come to Canada. And then I hear the gospel. And then I believe in it. Because I live among Christians. And they share the gospel to me. So I will record Rahab, mean Egyptian, and Babylon, among those who acknowledge me, who knows God, who know Jesus Christ. Philistine too, and Tyre along with Cush, and will say, this one was born in Zion, born in the city of God, in the heavenly Jerusalem. I want you to write it down right beside Psalm 87, right beside verse 3, City of God. I want you to go back to Revelation chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. The earth that we are living now is the first earth. And this first earth will pass away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. The holy city is the city of God. God is the holy God. The holy city is the city of God. You write down Revelation 21:2, right beside Psalm 87, verse 3. The city of God is the holy city. The holy city, also called the new Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God. So that's why it's called city of God. Prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Psalm 87, verse 4, the latter part. Philistine 2 and Tyre, this is Gentile area along with Cush, and we will say this one was born in Zion. So there's a lot of Gentiles come to know Jesus Christ. Indeed, verse 5, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in Zion, in the city of God. And the Most High himself will establish the holy city of God. Verse 6, the Lord will write in the register of the people, this one was born in Zion. As they has made music, they will sing, all my fountains are in you. All my fountains are in you. Right beside that, you write down Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. That city is the holy city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. You write down 22, 1 and 2, right beside, all my fountains are in you. They are living water, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And on both sides of the river, there are trees of life, yielding 12 crops of fruit for us to eat, and the leaves will heal us. Now, go back. Daniel, chapter 12. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nation until then. A lot of people, including Jews and Gentiles, especially believers, before they suffer, they went astray. They do their own thing. So during the 7 years of tribulation in their suffering, they're going to turn around. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Your people, everyone will be delivered. The condition is your name has to be found written in the holy city of God. Verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Later on, after the 7 years of tribulation, a lot of people will be resurrected because a lot of people are willing to die for our Lord Jesus Christ, willing to suffer, and some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting content. Not everyone who are resurrected will be saved. I want you to write down right beside here, Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 29. If you do good means believe in Jesus Christ. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you will do good. They say, Pastor John, what do you mean by believe in Jesus Christ, you will do good? Believe in Jesus Christ, that means you open your heart, you allow Jesus Christ to enter into your heart. On top of that, you ask Jesus Christ to control your life. That's what it means. That's what it means by believe in Jesus Christ and do good. When you allow Jesus Christ to control your life, He will use your body, through your body. Jesus will do a lot of good things through your life. And that's how you do good. I don't mean do good mean rely upon your own flesh and blood according to your own strength to do good. No one can do good according to your own strength. Ecclesiastic chapter 7 verse 20. There's no such person who always does good and never sins. But if you are so filled with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ, then you'll be able to do good in the sight of God. Joyce, could you read that, Jane? John 5, 20, 29.
John 5, 29. And come out, those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned.
Who are the one who has done evil? Because he don't want Jesus Christ to live in his own life. You understand what I'm trying to say? He wants to live his own life. They are the ones who do evil. So multitude who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting, order to shame and everlasting contempt. The one to everlasting life, they are awake to glory, not to shame. To everlasting life, not to everlasting contempt. Verse 3, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heaven. who are the wise, those who listen to the gospel and obey to the gospel and allow Jesus Christ to live in you, to guide you, to help you, to control you, you are the wise man. And those who lead many to righteousness, they're going to shine like the star forever and ever. What did I say the last time? Those who are wise will be able to lead people to Christ. Are you the wise man? Wesley, are you the wise man? Have you ever shared the gospel to your good friend? Okay. So what do you say to your good friend? Your good friend didn't even believe in Jesus Christ. So what do you say to him? I don't understand. You say it again.
Like, he said he was a Christian, but he didn't.
He said that he's a Christian.
Yeah.
Okay, and then?
But he didn't really go to church a lot.
Okay,
and then? He had a lot of questions. And I answered both of them.
Oh, really? Wow. So what's the name of his church that you go to? That's not the one.
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to write down right beside the wise in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness shine like the star forever and ever. How did he describe the wise one? Chapter 12, verse 3, the wise is the one who leads many people to righteousness. Okay? And right beside the wise one, you write down Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. That is what Solomon has said. He who wins soul is wise. Who is the wise one? Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness, like the star forever and ever. If you are wise, you will be able to lead many people to righteousness. Lead many people to God, to Jesus Christ. Righteousness, right beside righteousness, I want you to write down 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. I also want you to write down, right beside righteousness, you write down Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 7, if I remember right. I'm sorry. 23, verse 6. The Lord, our righteousness. The wise people will lead many to righteousness. That's the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lead many people to righteousness means lead many people to come to know the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Right beside 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, our righteousness, you write down Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 6. And you write down Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. So who are the wise one? The wise one is the one who lead many to righteousness. Why? When you lead many to righteousness, you will shine like the brightness of the heaven. You will shine like the star forever and ever. Why? Because in the process of leading people to come to know Jesus, you will suffer shame and persecution. Now you suffer pain, in the future you will receive glory. First come the suffering, then come the glory. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Those people who lead people to Christ lead wicked people to righteousness. During that process, you're going to suffer pain, suffer persecution, suffer affliction, suffer hardship, affliction. Okay? But that one turn into glory and shine like star, like the brightness of heaven. Verse 4. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. What God is saying in here is that at first when we read the Bible, we don't understand. The more we read it, we go here and there, study Old Testament and study New Testament and go back to study Old Testament and go and study New Testament. The more you study, the more you'll be able to understand. And God prophesies, many will go here and there to increase knowledge. When people understand, they tell you, you remember. And then you study yourself to see what he says is true or not. At that time, the Lord do not want Daniel to reveal it. And a lot of things Daniel do not understand. According to verse 13, as for you, go your way till the end. You will rest. That means you will die. And then at the end of the days, at the right time, at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will rise. You will be resurrected to receive your allotted inheritance. What is the allotted inheritance? I believe Daniel will shine like star forever and ever. He will shine like the brightness of heaven. Because he lived for God. Ever since he was captured and bring into the Babylon. He starts serving God at the age around 17. Until 90 some odd years old. He served God all his life. He even suffered pain. He prayed 3 times a day. He was cast into a lion den. But the Lord sent the angel to pluck up the mouth of each and every one of the lion. None of them 13. He's a righteous man in God's sight, greatly used by God. Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the water of the river, who is the man clothed in linen? Clothed in linen, looked like he dressed like a high priest. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the great high priest, is the heavenly high priest. Do you remember that at one point in time he walked on the water? You remember that? So that's why he can stand. Okay? One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, Jesus Christ, the one who can stand above the waters of the river. There are two men, one on the river on one side, one on the other side. Who are they? And I believe, I'm just guessing, eh? I believe Jesus Christ in the middle. And I believe he's facing south. Okay? When he's facing south, he stands on the Jordan River. When he's facing south, on his right side is the west of Jordan. On the left side is the east of Jordan. Can you picture that? So who is on the west of Jordan? Elijah has the ability to enter into the west of Jordan. But Moses did not have the opportunity to go to the west of Jordan. Right, isn't it? And I believe these are the two men. And I want you to write it down right beside 5 to 6. You write down Luke chapter 9. When Jesus was in the Mount of Transfiguration, there are two prophets on the Mount of Transfiguration talking to Jesus. One is Elijah, the other is Moses. Chapter 9, verse 30, Gospel of Luke. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appear in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. Why would they talk to Jesus? They spoke about his departure. Moses and Elijah spoke about the departure of Jesus. What do you mean by departure? Departure means exodus, leaving this world. Moses and Elijah spoke to Jesus about Jesus' departure, his death on the cross in Jerusalem, which Jesus was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Why would Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus regarding his departure? Because Jesus is going to tell these two men, the way that I was crucified, you two are my student and I'm your master and you are the servant. You should follow my footsteps. In Revelation chapter 11, the two witnesses will die in Jerusalem. These two witnesses is Moses and Elijah. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Joshua, do you understand? Remember that what you learn, you're going to tell the other people, okay? So what should you write down? You write down Revelation chapter 11. What should you write down? You write down Luke chapter 9, verse 40. I'm sorry, verse 30. 9, 30. And 31. All right? Go back. Go back to Daniel, chapter 12, verse 5. Then I, Daniel, look, and there before me stood two others. You know what? Listen to me carefully. That means Daniel, he didn't realize that two men standing on both sides of the river, one on each side, right? He didn't know that. Who is Daniel? Daniel, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. For you are highly esteemed, Daniel, are the men who are highly esteemed, greatly loved by God. Daniel chapter 10. Verse 11. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the word I'm about to speak to you. Third time. Daniel chapter 10, verse 19. Do not be afraid, O man, highly esteemed, speaking to Daniel. So who is recording Daniel chapter 12? The one who is highly esteemed by God, who is greatly loved by God. He sees that vision in front of him. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others. One on this bank of the river, and one on the opposite bank. Do you know that who was taken up to the Mount of Transfiguration, other than Peter and James? Joshua, who else? Moses? Joshua? John? Oh, come on. Oh, good try. Man. Joyce, who was taken up to the Mount of Transfiguration?
Peter, John, and James.
I say James? You say Joshua? Come on. John is the gospel. He's the one who writes the gospel of John. He's the one greatly esteemed by God. He's loved by Jesus Christ, isn't it? And he's the one who writes the Revelation. Right? Am I right? Daniel chapter 12, verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the water of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? They want to know. Even Moses, Elijah, want to know. Because when Daniel asked the question, God said, you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. What does it mean by until the time of the end? You write down the full word, until John write his revelation. God give the blessing to Apostle John to write the revelation. Apostle John is greatly esteemed by Jesus Christ. Daniel is greatly esteemed by God. I know, according to 2 Corinthians, Paul was taken up to heaven. Paul also had that revelation, but he wasn't allowed to write the revelation. It was given to Apostle John to write. But Moses and Elijah, they want to know this kind of suffering will last for how long? How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Like people going to be resurrected, some to everlasting life, other to shame and everlasting contempt. They want to know, when will it happen? After 7 years of tribulation. So how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Verse 7, the man clothed in linen. I think this man is not an angel. I think this man is Jesus Christ. But in Revelation chapter 10, the Bible clearly stated that it is the angel who stands on the land, he stands on the river. But this one, he didn't say he's an angel, he said the man clothed in linen. Go back to Revelation chapter 10. Remember that when Daniel write the book of Daniel, Revelation hasn't been written yet. Okay? Now we go here and there. We will increase knowledge. We get to know more and more. So the more you study the Bible, the more you have better understanding what happened. Chapter 10, Revelation, verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He didn't say he's a man. He's a mighty angel. Angel is angel. Man is man. Okay? He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillar. He was holding a little scroll which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. He's an angel. This one is different from the one both feet on the river. You got that? And I think this one is Jesus Christ. Verse 7. The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand towards heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and half a time. The question is, you write beside time, times, and half a time, you write down 12, 6. In answering the question of one of the people asking the man clothed in linen, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? How long will it be? Jesus said, 3.5 years. Times means 1 year. Times plus 2 years, and half a time, half a year. 3.5 years, these astonishing things of resurrection, some to everlasting life and glory, other to shame and everlasting contempt, will be fulfilled. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken. What does it mean by that? At that time, 144,000 12 tribes of Israelite, 12,000 of each tribe, totally 144,000 as recorded in Revelation chapter 7, these people will be slain. So you write down Revelation 7 and Revelation 14. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. They share the gospel, 144,000 share the gospel, bring a lot of people to Christ. Multitude of people will come to know Christ. Those who come to know Christ will be persecuted. They will die. These holy people, the power of the holy people has been finally broken. They will be persecuted. They will slain to death. They will suffer for their belief. And all these things will be completed. So right beside the holy people, you write down Revelation 7 and 14. Revelation 7, chapter 7 and chapter 14. Verse 8. I heard, but I did not understand. Of course he did not understand because he didn't see that. Now we see, right? We have the revelation, now we see. We look back, we see. I heard, Daniel heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all this be? Then he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the times of the end. The time of the end is allow John to write the revelation. Then we will understand. Chapter 12, verse 10, many will be purified. How will they be purified? Through their suffering. They will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand. You know what? When the wicked people see the godly people slain to death, they say, wow, see? What good does it do to believe in Jesus Christ? They will die. Because it has been destined for them. Has already been determined already by God. And God allow us to understand that now. So we prepare ourselves to carry the cross. Okay, don't give up your faith in your suffering. Stand firm. Be strong and courageous. Okay? Stand up for Jesus and willing to suffer. But none of the wicked will understand. But those who are wise will understand. Those who lead people to Christ, those who lead multitude of people to the righteousness, they understand. They know this is the right way to do. They're willing to suffer for preaching the gospel because in the future, they will shine like the brightness of heaven. They will shine like the star forever and ever. They will receive glory from God. Do you see that? So Joshua, is it better to be a medical doctor or preacher? Is it a tough answer or what?
I think we can be in the middle ground.
Okay. So you want to be Dr. Luke?
Yeah.
Guy. Oh, man.
He's smart. He was working around.
But Dr. Luke is not practicing physician, though. Come on, it's the middle ground. I want you to do me a favor. Could you go to Matthew? Oh, man. I know you will say that you do a middle ground. Let's hear what Jesus has to say to us regarding the middle ground. Luke chapter 6, verse 24. Could you read loudly?
Verse 24?
Yeah, Matthew 6, 24. So what did Jesus say about the middle ground?
No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
So what did Jesus say about the middle ground? Then you got to spend more time in the Bible, man. Go back to Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished, and the abominations that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days, which is 30 days, more than 3.5 years. 1,260 days is 3.5 years, is 42 months. 1 month is 30 days. So it's 30 days more than 3.5 years. And then verse 12, blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1335 days. You know what? I don't know. What does it really mean? All I know is, you don't just count on this day. You say, you try to be smart. You say, wow, I know 1,290 days, and then I know 1,335 days. You counting the days? No, you don't count the days. I want you to write it down. Matthew chapter 24. Chapter 24. What did the Bible say? Chapter 24, verse 22. If those days has not been cut short, if those days have not been cut short, no one would survive. If 1,290 days, 1,335 days, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, for the sake of those who are going to believe in Jesus during their suffering, those whose names are written in the book of the Lamb of God, for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. You understand? So, let me tell you one thing. And I believe we don't have the temple, holy temple built yet in the holy place, right? I believe right after the church rapture, when Jesus Christ comes back the second time in the air, he will take up those people who believe in God, those people who share the gospel, like the church of Philadelphia. Go back to Revelation chapter 3. If you are the one who share the gospel, like the church in Philadelphia, and what did Jesus promise us? I read that to you. Chapter 3, verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deed. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, who claim to be Christian, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. Keep you from the hour of trial is the 7 years of tribulation. Those people who preach the gospel will not go into the 7 year of tribulation. Why? Because they suffer so much already. Do you know how much pain that I suffer by sharing the gospel? People despise me. People step on me. And I still believe in Jesus Christ. And I keep on sharing until I see Jesus Christ face to face. Those people who are faithful, those people who endure patiently, Jesus Christ promised us that I will keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole earth, upon the whole world, to test those who live on the earth. You don't need to go through the testing anymore. You pass. Okay? If what Wesley told me is true, you probably will pass. But I don't know what you shared to your friend. You know what I mean? You got that? Daniel chapter 12. Let me draw you the picture. Before the 7 years of tribulation, 7 year tribulation divided by 3.5 years, 3.5 years. Total 7 years. Before the 7 year of tribulation, those people who are faithful in preaching the gospel will be taken up to heaven. That's what you call church rapture. And once the wise people are taken out, and all those people who so-called believer and yet they are wishy-washy, they will stay in that 7 year of tribulation. They will go through fire and testing. Remember what John the Baptist said? I come to baptize you with water, but Jesus Christ come, he can baptize you with spirit and with what? Fire. If you are baptized with spirit, you know that you are supposed to suffer for Jesus and preach the gospel. Because the Holy Spirit come, according to Gospel of John chapter 15 verse 26, the reason why the Holy Spirit come is to testify for Jesus. And Jesus say in verse 27, you too has to testify for me. When the Holy Spirit come upon me, we're going to testify for Jesus. According to John 15, 26 and 27. John 15, 26 and 27, if I remember right. So, if the Holy Spirit come upon you, according to Acts 1:8, you will witness for Jesus. From Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the world. If you are not moved by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel, you wishy-washy, you will go through a baptism of fire in the 7 year of tribulation. Because your name was written in the book of Lamb. Through that supper, you're going to turn around and witness for Jesus, you will die. But you will be saved. And right after the church was raptured, and I believe the temple will be built at the beginning
of 7 years of tribulation. And then the Antichrist, the beast from the sea, the beast from the bottomless pit, will rise up and make treaty with Israel for 7 year treaty. They give them peace. But after 3.5 years, he break the treaty. And then he himself sit on the throne in the temple, saying that he is God. Before that, he's going to stop Jewish people offering sacrifice. And that's what verse 11 is saying. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished, they stop the Jewish people to offer any sacrifice, and then the abomination that causes desolation is set up, because he sits on the throne inside the temple saying that he is God. Then you know the second half of the second 7 year of tribulation begins. So in the first 3.5 years, the Jewish people has relatively peaceful, because Antichrist make treaty with him, allowing him to rebuild the temple. He thought that he's the Messiah. Lo and behold, 3.5 years later, he break it. He stopped people for offering sacrifice. And then he say, I'm God. Then the Jewish people know he's the Antichrist. Oh, when Jewish people know that he's the Antichrist, because there are 144,000, 12 tribes, every tribe has 12,000 people preaching the gospel throughout the whole world, and two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, will share the gospel in that 3.5 years, and then Moses will die, and Elijah will die, and 144,000 people will die, and those people who believe in them will die. That's why he said to the rest of the people, when you see so many people die, the godly people, the holy people, it has already been prophesied. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. Stand firm. Wait for them. 1,290 days. Hopefully, according to Matthew chapter 24, those days will be shortened in order to save the elect. Because suffering is so painful. You understand? So don't just count the day. Shorten. It will shorten. Okay? But how many days? Nobody knows. Verse 13. As for you, Daniel, go your way till the end, and you will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise. At the end of the day means at the second coming of Jesus Christ. You will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. You will receive glory and crown from God. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for allowing us to study the book of Daniel, to study the book of Revelation, so that we have a better understanding of who you are and what you have determined for the whole world to go through, both Christian and non-Christian. And I pray that you give us wisdom to hide your word within our heart, so that for sure we will be rescued. We will be saved by you. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.